Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Matthew is profound, presenting us with Christ as the King in his kingdom. John is mysterious, showing us Christ as the very God. But Luke, though not as profound or as mysterious, is altogether sweet and pleasant, because Luke unveils Jesus Christ as a man who is both sweet and pleasant, because his living displays and expresses the very nature and essence of God lived out in his perfect humanity. This is not just a man, but the man Savior. Dick Taylor has joined us for the beginning of our new life study, the life study from the Gospel of Luke. Dick, marvelous to be here, isn't it, and have a chance to open up this tremendous gospel in the New Testament.
It surely is, Chris, and I am so grateful for this ministry to bring us to this one who is the greatest attraction in the whole universe, Jesus Christ, the man Savior. Never before the life study was put out did I appreciate this person so much as the one who is both God and man, exhibiting God as a man in his entire life on this earth.
Yeah, Dick, I think people often wonder why the Bible contains these 4 accounts of the same story, seemingly, the account of the life of Jesus Christ on earth. Maybe as an introduction today, Dick, you could give us a little bit of background about Luke and who he was, and also particularly the unique focus or emphasis of his particular gospel.
We could say for sure, Chris, that Luke was not one of the direct eyewitnesses of Jesus Christ. But it seems that perhaps he picked up his account of the gospel from the Apostle Paul, because he was a very faithful companion of Paul, even until Paul's martyrdom. And he gives us a complete biography, not only of John the Baptist in the beginning, but the entire book gives us a full biography of Jesus Christ as the man Savior. His emphasis is showing us the Lord's birth, the Lord's life, the Lord's death, the Lord's resurrection, including the Lord's ascension. And the words that you used, Chris, were sweet and pleasant. And surely this gospel is so sweet and so pleasant because he's here as a man. He is God, yet he's man. He's a God-man. I'd like to refer to Luke chapter 10 for just a moment. Here we have the account of the Good Samaritan. And here's this man who was on his way to Jericho. And I like verse 30. A certain man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He fell among robbers who, having both stripped him and beat him, went away, leaving him half dead. A certain priest was going down that road. He saw him pass by on the other side. Levi saw him, went past him on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, this is Jesus Christ, the very God who became man, who was journeying, came upon him, and when he saw him, he was moved with compassion. Well, I hope all of you who are listening, if you don't yet, you would, after this broadcast, send for your recovery version of the New Testament. Because in chapter 10, this story about the Good Samaritan, with all the footnotes, will bring you to the preciousness and the sweetness of this Christ as the man Savior. So what makes this book so sweet and pleasant is he's the very God who became man, and his relationship, his compassion, his tenderness upon man is exhibited in instance after instance all through the book of Luke.
Yes.
And this is just one of them, but this is one of the main ones. I'd like to read part of a footnote. Such a man Savior in his lost one seeking and sinner saving ministry journey came down to the place where the wounded victim of the Judaistic robbers lay in his miserable dying condition. When he saw him, he was moved with compassion in his humanity, with his divinity, and rendered him tender healing and saving care, fully meeting his urgent need. Isn't this sweet?
Wonderful.
Even the footnote to bring out the details of what's transpiring in this passage. Then eventually we see, what did this marvelous God-man do? What did he do? He bound up his wounds. He poured oil and wine in his wounds. He placed him on his own beast, donkey, taking him to where he needed to go, took him to the inn, took care of him, and he said he'd repay at his return whatever the inn spent. This is the preciousness and the sweetness and the pleasantness of this gospel. I believe this section in chapter 10 gives us the sweet, pleasant taste of Christ, the real, normal, perfect, genuine man.
Dick, I'm really glad you referred to that. We're going to come back to that story tomorrow for a little bit, and then later on when we get to chapter 10 in this life study, that's going to be opened up in detail. But to see it in that light, as opposed to the light when it is most typically presented in, as a sort of an example that we should try to be the Good Samaritan, but actually we realize in this account, we're not the Good Samaritan. We're the one that was beaten up and left for dead, aren't we?
That's right. But thank the Lord for the man Savior.
Praise the Lord, Dick. Let's join Witness Lee with the first section today.
Apparently, this gospel is quite simple. Seemingly, it is not so profound as Matthew, nor so mysterious as John. Why? Because it gives us a record of our Savior, the Lord Jesus, as a man. We know a man is not that profound as God. It is not so profound. Yet, we have to realize, among the four Gospels, the most sweet one and pleasant one is this one. God is profound. Yet, when he became a man, he is sweet and he is pleasant. In Matthew, we see the king, and in Mark, we see the slave. In John, we see God. Now, in this book, we see the man. The man. And Luke, his narration, gives us a record in a sweet and pleasant way. Not only the narratives, but even the narration is very sweet and pleasant.
Dick, he seemed to just be re-speaking what you and I were already talking about, though I loved his utterance there. This is the man, he said. Not a man, but the man. And the God that we see in Matthew and in John, of course, is profound and mighty. But when this God becomes the man, he is sweet and he is pleasant. How about this Gospel of Luke?
That is the truth, Chris. The infinite God became a finite man. The great God became a little man. This little man is so sweet and so pleasant. I was thinking of a song we sing, O glorious Christ, Savior mine, thou art truly radiance divine, God infinite in eternity, yet man in time, finite to be. This is so precious. Eventually in the chorus it says, God mingled with humanity, and now this one lives in us, our all to be. So this gospel really is pleasant and sweet because it's not just speaking about the king, mm-hmm. not just about a slave, neither about God directly, but the very God becoming a man to reach man with his saving grace and to bring man into his full salvation for the accomplishment of his heart's desire. So this is the sweet, pleasant gospel of Matthew. Every single incident that you read about
right.
in the gospel of Luke, you just come out with that taste. Sweet, pleasant. He's so good.
Just even getting into it this far, I find my appetite to get into this gospel and just read it again is very much whetted. Don't you have that sense?
I do. My appetite is wet.
Well, Dick, let's get back. You mentioned this term, mingling. God mingled with humanity in the hymn that you were quoting from there. We're going to see that term developed in this coming section, and it is a critical point to understand if we really want to get into this gospel in its reality and in its fullness. So let's go back to Witness Lee as he touches the subject of the Gospel of Luke.
Now we come to the subject. The subject is something marvelous. The man's Savior and his salvation in the highest standard of morality. 3 points. The man's Savior, number one. Then his salvation, this number two. Lastly, the highest standard of morality. In this book, he was conceived of the Holy Spirit with the divine essence. Luke was unique. Unique in telling us how this man Savior was conceived. He was conceived of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is just God himself in reaching man. When God reaches man, he is the Holy Spirit. Now, God, as the Holy Spirit, came to humanity. The Savior was conceived of this Holy Spirit and born of a human virgin. So, by this, we all have to see and realize to the full extent that our Savior, he is of two essences. One is the divine essence, the other is the human essence. Two essences not only added together, but mingled together. And this mingling, some Bible students, even Bible teachers, misunderstood. Even in the ancient time, in the second, third centuries, there was quite a debate concerning the mingling. Some misunderstood that this mingling caused the two essences lose their own natures to produce a third nature. To understand this way was a big heresy, and it was condemned. But I'm glad to tell you, even according to the modern Webster's dictionary, Webster says mingling means what? Means to join two or three things together that their original natures will not be lost. Our Savior was conceived with the divine essence and born with the human essence. So he was one person with the two essences, the divine and the human, mingled together without a third nature. Yet he was one complete person. You must hold this view when you come to read this gospel.
Well, Dick, we had a very sweet, enjoyable first section talking about this sweet and most pleasant person. Now we come to something that may seem a bit doctrinal and dry, but is critical. I think it's worth our time to develop it a little bit, because as he pointed out, you must hold this view when you come to this gospel. If we really want to understand the gospel of Luke and really have the light opened up, we must see this matter of the mingling in its proper way and not in the distorted way. Talk a bit about this matter of mingling, why it has become a controversial issue in some people's minds, but the real true meaning of it as we're seeing here.
Well, Jesus Christ, Chris, is the precious God-man. He is the mingling of divinity with humanity. And we see with him the two essences. On one hand, for sure, his source is of the divine essence because he is conceived of the Holy Spirit. On the other hand, he's born of a human virgin. Mm-hmm. So you have two essences or two natures. You have divinity with humanity being mingled together. And we must see this clearly in order to really appreciate this Gospel of Luke. Because mingling in its definition, like our brother Lee mentioned, according to the dictionary, means that these two have been mixed together or brought together, but they don't lose their original nature
right.
or their original identity. Divinity is still recognizable.
Mm-hmm.
Humanity is still recognizable. The divine nature is still there. The human nature is still there. But the two have been mingled together to produce not a third thing, but a mingling of God with man to make him the most wonderful, awesome, precious, unique person in the entire universe, a man who is filled with God. God has come into this man to be his content. This man is filled with God to express him. And that is what God's intention is all about, to gain an expression of himself in humanity.
And Dick, this becomes the bullseye of this Gospel of Luke, as we'll see, I think, in the weeks ahead, and as message after message develops, this matter of this mingling in its proper sense, this proper, clear understanding, a term that's even used in the Bible in Leviticus, this word mingling, to describe the coming together of these two essences to form not a new third nature. And so we want to be very clear. We're not talking about that, which definitely is a heresy.
That's right.
That the two natures disappear and a new third nature created. That's not what we're saying here.
No, we're not saying that.
And even Webster concurs that that's not what the word mingle implies.
No, we're not saying that when God became man, he's no longer God.
Right. Okay, I think we've laid that foundation well enough, but it does get, I think, strengthened as we come to this final section. Let's go to Witness Lee.
You couldn't imagine that in this universe there is such a composition. Man and God, God and man, are mingled together to form a composition full of the divine attributes and full of the human virtues. Maya, what is this? You must hold this view when you come to read this gospel. I was reading it for years and never saw this. I never had this kind of a concept, this kind of understanding. Until to certain day, the Lord opened my eyes. And that was confirmed by others' writings, that in this one person, you could see all the attributes of God and all the human virtues. Not only so, dear saints, if you read this gospel carefully, you could see all the attributes of God are strengthenings and enrichings to the human virtues. The Bible shows us clearly that God is love, and God loves. And also, the Bible tells us we who have been created by God should love others. God loves, and we should love. But we may love without the strengthening and enriching of God's love. Can you see this? This human love could be strengthened by the divine love and enriched by it. Now, you have to see a man loved, yet in his loving, there is the divine love strengthening, enriching his love. Jesus living on this earth was fully strengthened and enriched by the divine attributes. So his morality is the highest. He did live the highest standard of morality. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Wow, Dick, a tremendous example he gave here to illustrate not just this matter of mingling, but another aspect that we will hear again and again, this matter of Jesus Christ being the perfect blending of the divine attributes in the human virtues, expressed in the human virtues. And pick up his example, this matter of love. I think this is one we can all relate to.
This is good, Chris, because this is why he said he has the highest standard of morality. What does this mean? It means that he's a man not only possessing the human virtue of love, but this human virtue of love is strengthened, enriched, and uplifted by the divine attribute of love. So this is really, really precious. I was thinking of Luke 7, Chris, where Jesus saw the widow and the funeral procession where she was mourning over her son who had died. And when the Lord saw her, he was moved with compassion for her and said to her, "Do not weep." He said, "Young man, to you I say, arise." And the dead man sat up and he began to speak, and he gave him to his mother. This is the compassion of this God-man with the highest standard of morality. There is the human love that is strengthened, enriched, and uplifted by the divine attribute of love. So we can see this all the way through the book of Luke. So this matter of love is a real good illustration. Concerning my wife and I, we realize the human virtue is not adequate. We have learned through the years to open our heart to Christ, this wonderful God-man. Let him fill us so that our human virtue is filled with the divine attribute of love. This makes marriage really solid, wonderful, and joyful. Hallelujah for the strengthening and uplifting and enriching of our human virtues by the divine attributes. One place Brother Lee wrote this, listen to this. He said this, "Why do we end up hating somebody we love? Because the source is wrong. The source is merely your human virtue of love or your human emotion or your human heart. You need that virtue strengthened, enriched, and uplifted by the divine attribute. Otherwise, your human virtue is weak, fragile, and is easily terminated."
Wow.
So I love this. We are brought to the highest standard of morality, a man who is full of God, all of his virtues filled with divine attributes to perfectly express God. This is God's desire. And now such a man lives in us. What can we say except hallelujah? Hallelujah.
Why did I know where you were going there, Dick? I think it's a good point to end this first introductory program.
Dick, thank you very much for your fellowship today.
You're so welcome.
For Dick Taylor today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thanks very much for listening.